This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 203. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on the USEA's unrecognized schooling shows. And we'll be hearing about the schooling show championships at Chat Hills from Penny Morse. And then from the West Coast, Wendy Wagillis will be here to tell us about the event derby. But first, Rob Burke, the CEO of the USEA, joins me to explain the USEA's unrecognized event program. Rob, welcome back.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about these competitions then, because we're going to be hearing later on from Penny Morse about her schooling show. What do you need members to know about this opportunity?
Yeah, sure. So we've never really done a really strong push to describe what sort of educational or competitive opportunities we have outside of our recognized events. I think, you know, most people who listen to the podcast are probably pretty familiar with our about 240 recognized competitions around the country, everything from, small horse trials up to the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event that's coming up in a couple of weeks. But we also have an equal number of what I would say would be unrecognized events and or tests or educational activities that have registered with us at the USEA. And they really run the gamut from simple clinics to competitive competitions to combined tests to young horse competitions, you name it. And in fact, we encourage the organizers that register these competitions with us to be creative and come up with new and interesting ideas that are related to eventing. And when they register with us, it's a pretty low cost. It's in terms of what you're actually getting. So the organizers will register these competitions for about $100 to $150 with us for each competition. And the $100 is for a single day, $150 is for multiple days. And with that, they are included in our $1 million liability insurance policy. They are their activity is sent weekly to over 33,000 validated email addresses. So people who've actually asked to receive our e-newsletter, they're listed on our online calendar on a weekly basis. And any promotion that the person hosting these activities, the organizer wants to put out, we will post on our USEA website, or we'll include them in a podcast like we're about to do. For us, it's we have this wide array of opportunities, and there are a lot of competitions we're aware of out there that are running unrecognized and they aren't registered with us as well. So I think we're doing our due diligence to try to at least explain the benefits to the public and get it out there, because for us, we see these educational activities as part of our core purpose, why we were established. The USEA at its founding was an educational organization educating about the sport. So we see these educational activities, schooling shows, as directly in line with that. We aren't, I think some people might look at us as only focused on the recognized activities, but that's really couldn't be farther from the truth. That's, for us, it's all about leading up to those competitions. And then beyond that, I would just say and encourage those people who want to compete in them to check out our website at useventing.com and look on both our educational listing, and on the main page there's a listing that that includes those educational activities coming up that week, or schooling shows or tests. So check it out.
Now, these are taking place in all areas throughout the country, are they, Rob?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, from everywhere, from east to west and everywhere in between.
And how do you find out about this if you're hosting an event of any sort right now and you'd like to take part in this program of unrecognized competitions and the schooling shows too, because you may be able to run these and organize these sort of schooling shows more frequently?
Yeah, exactly. And they are So it's pretty easy. I can make it simple and just say, give us a call at 703-779-0440, and we can get you registered right away. You can also find on our website through both education and competitions links to these educational activities and the registration form for it. I will say, they're a really low cost, high return opportunity for a lot of our organizers out there. So we'll see, venues that I'll give Stableview as a good example. Stableview in the Aiken area, they run both recognized events, but then at the same time they have these registered schooling shows with us. And it's a great way for them to maybe not have to expend quite as much money, but provide those educational lead ups to the recognized events. And you know, ultimately we see the recognized structure building into, people moving up the levels and eventually reaching whatever their highest aspiration in competitive eventing is. They can use those as a tool to get there. I mean, when I was actively competing about 100 years ago, we used to take our young horses out to these schooling shows or clinics just to get them out there, get them exposed to the competitive atmosphere, without necessarily having to take them out into a high stress environment. The high stress environment was more the riders just getting stressed out because of the kind of performance anxiety, I'll say. So we would take the horses out, let them get exposed to it. We could have a day where we just decided, oh, that was enough, and we didn't feel like we had spent so much and committed so much to get to the same level as we would for a recognized event. So, and then eventually we got enough experience under our belt where we were ready to go to the recognized events.
It's a perfect stepping stone then, really, isn't it, for bringing on the young horses?
It is. It is. Yeah, young event horses as well as new event riders, right? I mean,
yes.
For our starter and introductory levels and for the new event horse competitions that we're starting to see spring up more and more, especially on the East Coast. It really is. It's a great intro, low stress introduction, lower cost. And again, I think it's great for the competition organizers as well as there's no ifs or buts about it. It takes a lot to put on a recognized competition, and it takes a little bit less to put on some of these educational and schooling activities.
In terms of the services and facilities available then at these schooling shows and unrecognized competitions, Rob, what can riders expect if they've not been to one before? Are there fence judges? Are there stewards? What is the typical structure of the organization?
Yeah, so it depends on what type of test is being offered. And I say, and that's part of probably our problem in explaining it traditionally and why we haven't done a great push on how to explain it. Because if it's a dressage fix-a-test, for example, you could go in and it would just be a dressage official, and you might check in when you get there and have, a secretary of some sort. And then you go in and you do your test and the judge talks to you about how to improve it. On the other hand, you could have, you could go to a schooling show, which in most senses, you've got someone watching you in the warm up. You've got, in most cases, an official who is a USCF licensed official judging you. So it can feel exactly like a horse trial, but again, at a lower cost, a little lower stress. And typically where the savings are made is in a couple of areas, both they might not have quite as many officials as a normal horse trial, or, the decorations or the prizes or some other things aren't quite up to the same standard as a normal recognized horse trial. So, again, there's quite a lot of variety. And I think what my recommendation is to go to one or two of these to take a look or talk to your friends about them, get some recommendations, and then go out and experience them once you feel like you're comfortable with it. And I think, what we found ourselves when we were actively competing, both my wife and I, We found a couple in the area that we love that just we felt were great for our horses, great for ourselves. Again, really low stress, and provided a nice, safe atmosphere for both our horse and ourselves. And that really is one of the key components. Above all else, with these competitions, when they register with us, we just ask that they follow the same sort of safety protocols, have a vet on site, and then and have emergency medical personnel on call, just so that it is a safe environment. Because ultimately, that's what we are most focused on beyond just the education. It's the safety.
Absolutely. Of course, maximizing the fun and minimizing the risks, as always. Rob, if anyone's out there thinking, oh, well, do I have to do all three phases? Is there any combined training element to these competitions?
Absolutely. Yeah. Combined tests. We've got a couple. Well, as I said, it's really up to the organizers. Out in the Northwest, we have DX Eventing, which has taken off. I know we've done some podcasts about it in the past. And DX Eventing can be any combination of dressage and show jumping and or dressage and cross country only. And or kind of in an arena setting is also very common out there. So yeah, there are plenty of opportunities. Again, it really comes down to how creative is the organizer. I think another great kind of opportunity offered out west is the Event Derby, and Wendy Wergelies has been involved with that. And then on the East Coast, I can give an example of the Maryland Horse Trials run some great combined tests, as well as during the winter they'll run kind of a shortened cross country just in the arena, kind of an arena eventing type opportunity. But the opportunities are about 100 miles wide, so people just should get out there, see what the opportunities are, and figure out the best place for them.
Yeah, work out where it suits them and their horse. And finally, again, Rob, remind everybody how they can find more information about these if they, they've got young horses and they're chomping at the bit to take them out.
Yeah, sure. So I recommend that anybody go online, go to useventing.com. You'll see on the main page when you get there, on depending on what you're looking on, whether it's your mobile device or otherwise, there are events this week, but also clinics this week, and there'll be a lot of the schooling show opportunities. You can also go on education link, and on the education link there's
Rob, I'm gonna have to stop you as I asked you that question, then the phone service just went a little bit wavery. Yeah. So can you just answer that question again when you're ready?
Yeah, no worries. Do I sound okay now?
Yeah, perfectly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can go online onto useventing.com, and whether you're looking on a mobile device or a laptop or something else, if you find the upcoming events listing on the main page, we also have a listing of clinics and other activities, which are typically those schooling show test type opportunities. You can also click from the main page, you can click on the link for education, and then we'll have a nice list there. So there's a couple of ways to find it. And also, if you haven't already, I recommend registering for the USEA newsletter. If you're not a member, members automatically are included in it. But if you're not a member, register for our e-newsletter on useventing.com. And then you'll get a listing every week through our newsletter. So, yeah.
Lots of ways to find out how you can enjoy the sport and educate yourself and your horse. Rob, thank you very much for coming on the program. We're going to hear more about this and these on the opportunities out there in both this episode and another upcoming episode of the USEA's official podcast. Rob, always good to catch up with you. Thank you for that.
It's been lovely. Thank you, Chris.
Well, I'm joined now by Penny Morse from Chat Hills. She does some volunteer, has a few volunteer responsibilities. You wear a couple of hats down there, but this is a third hat that you wear, I understand, Penny, to organize the SESSC and affiliated and schooling shows. So welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
So tell us what the SESSC stands for, first of all.
It's the Southeast Schooling Show Championships. It was started to give something more than just a schooling show for people who only do schooling shows. So they had something more to shoot for, sort of to give them a little bit more, like the recognized people have AECs and Area 3 Championships. So we gave something to our local riders.
And are they mainly local riders then that take advantage of these championships, these schooling shows, Penny?
The championships, we opened up to the whole of the Southeast. So we had people coming in from other states, which was exciting because they got to compete against people in other states who they'd never met before. But there's such a huge following of schooling shows today that we were very excited to bring them all together.
And when did this actually start? And give us an idea of how many events that you have unaffiliated or schooling shows at Chat Hills.
We run approximately 7 or 8 schooling shows a year at Chat Hills. But there are schooling shows all over the place. And our championships, you can qualify at any schooling shows as long as it is GMO sanctioned. We have many, other places have many, and that's where they get their qualifications.
What are those qualifications then, Penny? We want to educate our members here if they haven't heard of this before and they'd like to have a go. What does it involve?
Well, if they're going to do dressage only, they have to have 2 scores that are 60% or over with 2 separate judges. If it's eventing, they have to place 1st through 5th at 2 shows. They have to have gone clear 1 time on cross country. And if it's combined training, they have to have placed 1st through 5th. Now, the big thing that they do have to do is that every competitor to qualify has to have volunteered for 8 hours at either a recognized show or a schooling show at any location.
Oh, well, this is neat then, but you tie in the volunteer base that you have, because you're a volunteer coordinator there at Chat Hills, aren't you?
Correct, yes. And of course, with the children that and the younger people that like to compete at the shows, we try to educate them that volunteering is a very good way of A, learning about how a show is run, and it gives back. For our older members, it's just getting part of it and finding out what it's all about. And there are many riders that learn a lot by volunteering and finding what it's like to be on the other side.
So it builds your volunteer base as well, doesn't it? So it's a win-win situation,
yes,
for everybody.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great idea.
Absolutely. Yes. And of course, when they volunteer, they also get a schooling voucher, which means they can come out of school at Chat Hills for no charge.
Interesting. That's great. And then, of course, you're also building on your, not as well as your volunteer base, but maybe potential officials in the future. They may get an idea that, you know, get to like what it involves to run an event.
Absolutely. It's not just getting on your horse and, you know, taking part. There's so much more involved.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, give us another sense of then of the schooling shows themselves then, because they are, you know, you put into place all the usual safety measures as well as you would at a recognized event, don't you, Penny? So what would a typical day look like and how many people would you need to help run it?
Well, it takes a village, and I think that's what surprises people when they come to a schooling show for the first time. We run on absolutely the same rules as if it was a recognized show. We also try to bit check as well. We are kinder, but we do like to teach people about bit checking when it comes to their dressage test. We have the same amount of volunteers when it comes to dressage because we have four stewards and we have a scribe per judge and everything else. Cross country, you're still going to have your jump judges out there. And stadium, it still takes a good crew out there picking up poles. And again, three or four stewards down there running warm-up plus getting the riders in the arena.
And how does this fit onto your calendar for the year then, Penny? Because it is an extra event for you all to have the championship. So give us a sense of a typical event calendar year for you there at Chat Hills.
Oh, gosh, it's full. The date we had last year, we changed it this year to the end of September so that it would be not clashing with so much. You're going to clash with something, and that's just something you have to deal with. But we have an event going on, more than one event going on every month out at Chat Hills, and then we just break for the winter. But the first going show we hold in February, and our last going show we hold in November. So running through the year, really.
Yeah, there's certainly is a lot going on there, and a great opportunity for riders at different levels then to school. Just talk us again through the levels. You gave us the qualification, but give us a sense of those the levels that you would be running at the schooling shows themselves, Penny.
For eventing, our lowest level is amoeba. A very popular division for younger children, people just starting out, and older ladies, the ones who have just now come into doing something they did as a child. And they're very proud to get through their amoeba and tadpole phases. Dressage, we start off at intro level, and we can go up basically to an FEI test. We try to offer as much as we can. In eventing, we go in combined training, we go up to prelim, and in three phase, we do a PT. So anybody on those higher levels, you know, they're either going to stay there and just do schooling shows, or they're ready to go to recognized.
So you could be 6 or 60 and you'd still be a tadpole?
Absolutely. We don't mind how old you are. The other thing we did, which was, and we have some of our more mature ladies on our committee, we don't let the young kids ride against our mature riders. So we divided it. So, you know, there's nothing more disheartening than being beaten by a six-year-old when you're in your 50s. So we have our older group and our younger groups. So everybody wins.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the other way around. Nothing more disheartening for a six-year-old to be beaten by a six-year-old.
Yeah, you need to watch some of those six-year-olds out there.
Well, it sounds like you have something for everyone there, Penny, and lots to choose from. Just remind us of the website where people can find more information about the schooling and unrecognized shows at Chat Hills.
They can go to chathillseventing.com. And they will find different links to click on there. And the SESSC has its own link. And in the next week or so, they will have a brand new prize list for this year on there they can click on. And the dates when they can actually send their entries in. And get excited for our event, which will be the weekend of September 29th and 30th.
Okay, a little way to go yet, but people can prepare and qualify for that. And you mentioned their prize money and, of course, entry fees. How did that relate to, say, a recognized event? What do you typically charge for an entry fee for a schooling show, Penny?
You're looking at around about $100 for a three-phase. And you're looking, you know, more than double that if you're going on a recognized. So it's a lot more affordable for everybody. And that's the biggest thing. We try to keep it so that, you know, it's not just a case of you've got to have money to compete. You can save up and you can do these, and it's within budget. We do really nice prizes. We have perpetual trophies, which are there at Chat Hills. And then we do a second trophy that she goes home with the rider. So they get something to take home, but the big trophy stays at Chat Hills, and big ribbons. The most interesting thing was it was a lot easier to get sponsors for a scoring show championship than it was for some of the recognized events. Our local people really got into it.
And, of course, they get the bragging rights too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there anything else you would like our members to, our listeners here, to know about these schooling shows, Penny?
Our first one was last year, and this will be our second one this year. And our aim, I think, would be on a perfect scenario would be to see them all over the country, so that actually one day we could actually have our version of the AECs, but in schooling shows. And we think that would be just the best thing ever. And it would just be the best event for everybody.
All right. Well, there you can find more information, as Penny says, by going to the website. That was Penny Morse telling us about Chat Hills, Unrecognized, the schooling shows, and the SESSC, those championships, to look forward to at the end of September. Penny, thank you so much for coming on the program and telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Wendy Wergeliers joins me now from the West Coast. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, first of all, introduce yourself to our listeners around the country, Wendy. Tell us a little bit about where you're based there in California and what you do in the sport of eventing.
Well, I live in beautiful Los Alamos, California, which is about an hour north of Santa Barbara on the 101 highway. And I do a little bit of everything, actually. I teach, I train horses, I put on competitions. I am a small R event judge, S technical delegate. And I also created a competition series called the Event Derby.
Well, that's exactly what we want to talk about today and hear more about the Event Derby. First of all, how did that come about, Wendy? Tell us the story behind it.
Well, many years ago, probably over 30 years ago, I was living in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I had approximately 4 acres of land where I ran my business, and we were in Las Vegas. It was 5 hours to the closest event, 8 hours to the next event, and 12 hours to many others. So I tried to come up with a way that I could offer my students a competitive experience without having to travel 12 hours to do it. And that's really what happened. I remembered watching jumping derbies in Rhode Island and, you know, things on TV. And I thought, well, why don't I just do the same thing for eventing? And so I started doing them in my small facility in Las Vegas. And then I used to have Don Saatchi would come and do clinics. He came shortly after I had run one of my derbies, and my whole back of my facility was flagged with novice through intermediate level flags and numbers. And he thought that was a fantastic idea. And a couple years later, I moved to California, and he, myself, and his wife, Dana Saatchi, put this competition series into a more of a solid package, and we wound up starting doing them at their facility in Santa Barbara, Flint Ridge Riding Club in Pasadena, Galway Downs in Temecula, and we just traveled around and put the shows on. And over the years, Don left the group, and then Dana moved to Maryland, and I wound up continuing on with it, and it's now I think it's about the 21st year that I've done them. So it's been a long time.
It's been a long while. Obviously, lots of events there. So it's really like a series then, Wendy.
Yeah, we try to make the last show of the season as a jackpot show to encourage people to come to, you know, to other of the shows in the series. And And they're, you know, depending on when and where they're located, there really becomes quite a following.
So how many do you have currently then that you're organizing?
Well, that is a very good question. This year, I'm actually taking a sabbatical. The last couple of years, I had been putting them on at the Fresno County Horse Park, and I would put on, I think we put on three each year for the past 3 years there. And it just became a little bit cumbersome for me to travel that far and expensive to, you know, pay for all my officials and things to ship everybody in, pay for hotels for the whole time. So right now we're working on establishing a new facility in the local area. I have put them on here at the ranch that I'm at, but the owners of the ranch have kind of gone in a different direction. So I'm actually just working on a new facility right now. It's not an hour away, so that should be fun.
Now, tell us about the different levels and the actual structure of the shows, Wendy. Give us an idea of what they look like and, you know, and really, you know, how you're basing them. They're unrecognized shows now, as I understand it. They're schooling shows.
Yeah, they're unrecognized, but what I do is I register them with the USEA, and the benefit to that is that they offer mailing lists. They put you on their calendar and, you know, offer, and then I also add to the event derby package, I also put on future and young event horse competitions concurrently with them. What would happen if you were to enter an event derby? You could enter just a dressage class. You could enter just a jumping class, which is a combination of show jumping and cross country. Or you could enter what we call the event derby class, which would be the combination of both. So it's kind of a mini event. The jumping phase comprises show jumping and cross country, but we try to limit the courses to 2 minutes long to encourage people to do two or three classes at either a level that they're comfortable at, or they could maybe do one as a warm-up and thinking about moving up a level. They could use the first one as a warm-up and then move up. They can then post-enter another jumping class if they weren't happy with it or wanted to do it again. So it's quite a flexible format.
And what levels are you talking about then, Wendy? Where do you begin and how high do you go with the levels?
Well, we stay as closely to the USEA levels as we can. We do offer what we call an intro level, which is max height 20 inches, and we go straight through advanced. And we've actually had we don't get that many upper level competitors. We generally run through preliminary. Occasionally, we'll have a few intermediate entries, and we have in the past had a couple of advanced people using it as a prep for an upcoming competition.
And do you find sponsors for these? Do you have prize money? Give us an idea of what that looks like. I'm thinking if anyone's listening to this and has not heard about them before and wants to have a go.
Well, I have an amazing lady named Marty who has gone out and gotten sponsorships, which really we use more to pay for a nice program for the series. And as far as prize money, I created a competition within the competition called the Event Horse 2B, the number 2 and the big letter B, challenge. And I run it at each one of the competitions. And basically, anyone who has a horse who has never competed in dressage or jumping prior to the competition can enter it. And if they enter it There's generally a handful of other people that show up with off-the-track race horses or some horse that pulled out of a roping barn or something. And the person who ends with the most points in that day's show is eligible to win $500 and get their name on a fabulous trophy, the Metal McRae Memorial Trophy, which was I made in honor of a wonderful woman that actually bred my horse that I ran Advance one time, a lady named Mary Ann McRae.
So lots of incentives there. And what about entry fees, Wendy?
You know, entry fees will vary depending on the location. Because I do them often at different people's facilities, it really kind of depends what they're going to be charging me or including in the, you know, in their fees. You know, if they charge me one lump sum, for all the harrowing and helping us do the setup and whatever, it's one rate. If they might want to charge me on a per person basis for how many entries, but I'd say the range of what I have charged in the past was, I think recently I would charge $90 for actually two full event derby classes. And that did not include the facility fees that were charged at the Fresno County Horse Park. So that was quite a lot of bang for your buck. If you paid $90, you got two dressage tests and two jumping classes. So.
And looking at the schedule ahead then this spring, Wendy, what are your upcoming events?
The shows that we'll be putting on, or?
Yes.
You know, I am no longer putting them on at the Fresno County Horse Park, and I'm currently discussing an opportunity at another facility that's close by. So I don't have anything scheduled right now. However, I know several of the other areas have started doing similar competitions. I know up in Washington, the Adult Rider Program puts on something similar to, I actually own the name The Event Derby. I have it trademarked. So they put on something similar, like they'll call it the Washington Derby or something like that. But there's quite a few of them going on in the state of Washington, just north of us.
Okay, so people have taken your idea and doing their own thing with it. It seems to be very popular. And is there anything that you would like to share with our members or our listeners, Wendy, about this? I mean, I know, you, as you said, you're on a sabbatical now, but what would you like to share finally before I let you go? And where could we find more information? Do you have a website?
Yeah, that would be what I would be happy to share. It's www.theeventderby.com. And I would be more than happy to help anybody that was interested in putting these on or had any questions about them. And please send them my way.
Wonderful. Well, that's very generous, Wendy. Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time, so tons of experience there in hosting these unrecognized events. The Event Derby, and that's Wendy Wergelis out in California. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about the program today.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
And as Wendy said, you can find more on her website about the Event Derby and also lots more information about unrecognized events on the USEA's website at useventing.com. And finally, a reminder that you can download this podcast from iTunes or any podcast player to your favorite podcast app so you can take the show with you. And don't forget to follow us on social media to find out when the next episode is available. That's on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the USEA's official podcast. Until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.